Hey guys, the following podcast is a Lady Gang Network and Podcast One production, which means it's going to be awesome.
Well, what is this?
Welcome to the Lady Gang.
That's amazing. Say that again.
The Lady Gang.
Things are about to change around here.
Each week, we catch up with Hollywood's hottest girl posse, Kelty Knight, Becca Tobin, and Jack Vanek.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Lady Gang. I'm Becca Tobin here with Jack Vanek and Kelty Knight.
I'm like, Jackie, ready to record? And she goes,
I'm stuck.
What are you stuck on?
The ground. I'm fine. I'm alive.
The world.
I am ready. Let's go.
This is going to be such a good episode.
I'm excited.
A lot of people were asking me, because we have a divorce expert, an attorney, that, like, would I talk about my divorce? But I'm saving that for our book.
Really?
Also, yeah. You've talked about your divorce, haven't you?
I mean, I've talked about it, but I haven't talked, like, deeply into it. But I thought it was better to help other people than talk about me. You know?
Did your divorce get petty?
Not petty, but it got, like, harsh.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Shit.
There's lots to talk about.
All the assets you had to separate.
There were no assets, but it was, like, aggressive.
You know what I'm sick of reading in Hollywood? I can't even say it.
Irreconcilable differences. Which means what?
Boring.
Somebody cheated?
No, it's like the most
limp
PC
dick
way to say a divorce without saying anything juicy.
Oh, yeah. I thought that was the reason why, is irreconcilable differences.
That's the reason why. But you can also, like, have other reasons that are juicier.
Like, he's a fucking idiot.
Like infidelity, I think.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. Or like,
we are going to sound even
dumber
in a few minutes.
Yes.
But before
don't worry,
that, it's time for
Good Week.
Yes, it is.
Bad Week.
Oh, no.
Who's first?
Me. Guess what?
What?
I joined a new Facebook group.
Oh, great.
Oh, God.
It's called the Bullet Journal Junkies.
Oh, my God.
It has 9,000 people.
It's not Bujo
It's not
junkies?
Bujo Junkies. No. Bullet Journal Junkies. And
Boo Junkies.
What was so funny about it is that, similar to the Lady Gang Facebook group where you have to answer 3 questions to get in, I had to answer 3 bullet journal questions. One of them was, what kind of journal do you have?
Oh,
like, what make and model, like your car?
What do you have? Do you have a, like,
I don't really know. I mean, I looked it up and then put it in. But anyway, so that's cool. Are you guys excited for me? I'm in another Facebook group.
What do you talk about in there?
They give page ideas, talk, like, review pens.
Oh, my God.
Review pens?
Yeah, I did a pen review last night on my Instagram.
Oh, my God.
I got some new Crayolas.
I wish I was dead.
Okay. You are peak Kelty. You know that.
Okay. Bad week. So, you know, I love iced tea. I like an unsweetened iced tea. And I was in my fridge here at work. I'd had, like, a big bottle for a long time. And on Friday, I was like, oh, let me just, like, have some of that iced tea and I'll finish up the big jug and then I'll start on my small jugs. And I had the big mouth right at my eye line and about to take a sip, and there's, like, 6 different lily pads of mold.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So I didn't drink it.
That's it didn't touch your lips?
No. It didn't touch my lips. But thank God I had my eyes open, because sometimes when I drink, I'm like, you know?
Whoa.
It was a crazy week. Jack?
Sick AF. Okay. Good week. People are very perceptive of details on my Instagram stories, because they have really noticed that my phone case is your face, Kelty.
I know.
And, like, I'll be, like, doing a selfie in a mirror, covering most of it. It's maybe only the eye of you showing. Mm-hmm. And I'll get dozens of messages on Instagram being like, is that Kelty on your case? Oh, you should tag Kelty in this picture, because it's just,
honestly,
like,
you should. It's f***ed up that you don't.
I'm just pissed you haven't asked for this phone case yet.
And I can't believe that's what people are noticing in your Instagram stories. Because what
I'm
noticing is that you do 2 things.
What?
You play cornhole.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you take pictures of yourself in the mirror.
Yeah.
I don't take that many pictures of myself in the mirror.
Or like an outfit of the day shot in, like, a moving...
A boomerang.
So you have 2 stories that I usually see.
Yeah. I don't really know how to use Instagram that well.
Yeah.
But that is where people are picking out the phone case.
Well, we should start selling
her outfit of the day boomerang.
Yeah. Just like your little eyeball. People are really... They're really fighting for you, Kelty.
You know what? You should tag me.
I will. Okay. Bad week. And this isn't really like a bad week, but... There is this new documentary on Netflix that I watched over the weekend called Abducted in Plain Sight.
Oh, my
and
God.
It is the craziest f***ing story I've ever seen in my entire life, that never in my life have I stood up and screamed at a TV before until I saw this. And I highly recommend it for anybody that loves true crime or just, like, a crazy story. But I was screaming, pissed off so badly at the parents in this movie. So...
Can you tell us why?
I don't want to, like, ruin it. They're just, I mean.
What's it called?
Abducted in Plain Sight. It's about this girl in the 70s that got abducted twice by somebody she knew.
Twice?
Twice.
In plain sight.
In plain sight, right in front of her parents' noses. The parents in the movie are like absolutely fucking idiots. And basically let it happen. But yeah, highly recommend it.
Okay. Well, I have like a bad week turned good week. I recently went to an event. Our stylist, Natalie, was really busy and it was very last minute. So I was like, it's fine. I'll figure out something to wear. Usually, I can like message a brand if it's not like a crazy brand and just be like, hey, do you guys have a showroom? Who handles your stuff in LA? Blah, blah, blah. Normally, I'll get like a response back. There was this one company months ago that I was like, this is such a reach for another event, but I'm just going to like send the message. Didn't hear anything back. Not surprising. So I decided I would wear this brand because I found it on sale, like a really sneaky sale because everywhere else the dress was still full price. It was very crazy.
Love when you find those sales.
It's amazing. So I buy the dress on sale and I'm like, listen, it's a beautiful dress. I'm sure if I wait long enough, I can wear it again to like a wedding or something, not an event. So I wear it and I tag the brand. And normally when that happens, the brand will at least
be like, you look great.
You look great. Anything. Like it. Anything. I don't expect them to post it on their Instagram. I'm not Julia Roberts. But like, I obviously bought your dress because you didn't give it to me for free. And so like, I'm a customer. Even if I was just like Joe Schmo in Michigan.
Right.
And wore your dress and you saw that I spent, and it's an expensive dress. So I was really pissed, and like days go by. Other people tag me in the dress, other like
some press,
little press, nothing. Also, I was fuming because I went to their tagged photos and mine was not there. So I'm like, they went and untagged me.
Oh, they hate you.
From their photos. But come to find out, I did a little more research after fuming. They don't actually have anybody tag, like they have a profile where like only their photos are tagged. Like where you can't, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So when you see their tag photo, it's only stuff they've posted. But I was like still really pissed. I know they know now.
Yeah.
So what I did, I turned around and I sold it. I sold the dress and I actually made money on it because I bought it on sale and on their stupid website, it's still full price. So I made money.
Go f*** yourself.
Go f***
modern day fucking businesswoman, you know?
I was like, you know what? I'm not keeping this garbage gown. I'm not keeping it.
Yeah.
But like, why are they so mean?
Fashion people are mean.
They're so rude.
Rude.
But like,
untag you.
I'm supporting your brand. Maybe I'm not the person you want in your brand.
But also that brand is not, I know what brand you wore, and it's not like anyone's wearing that brand.
No, everyone's wearing the brand.
I cannot wait to see what it was.
Really? Jennifer Aniston wore the brand recently. Natalie Portman wore the brand. Like, everybody's wearing the brand.
It's the brand. Okay.
But still, it's a new.
They're dicks.
They're dicks.
All right.
On that note, we have a not dick here.
Now back to the Lady Gang.
Our guest today is the baddest bitch around, the most in-demand divorce attorney ever, and the founder of It's Over Easy, an online divorce service. The company seeks to provide resources to anyone going through a breakup. And you may have heard some of her famous clients, Ryan Reynolds, Heidi Klum, Ashton Kutcher. She's looking around. She's like, who else is in the room right now? Christina Aguilera, Johnny Depp, Angelina Jolie, Kim Kardashian, Kate Walsh, Johnny Knoxville. She's also chicker than Olivia Pope and has been featured in Vogue, Porter, and Vanity Fair, and she's here with us today to make sure that when Lady Gang becomes the biggest brand in the world and our husbands leave us for younger women, that we get to keep all of our money. She's also a podcast host. Her show, Divorce Sucks with Laura Wasser on Podcast One, is fabulous, and you can listen to it every single week. Please welcome to the Lady Gang.
Hey, guys.
Yay. We're so excited.
Oh, we're so excited.
As am I.
It was so fun. And so your podcast is like really for people going through it or people who are just really interested in this?
Yes, I think both. If you're going through it, my whole gig is I want people to be educated. I don't want divorce to be so tragic and taboo from a legal and financial standpoint. It's still a bummer to be breaking up, but I really want people not to have to like search so much for information, and I want them to be able to get the facts and the law that they need if they're going through it.
And so have you always been like this fashionable, this on top of it? Like, how did you get
this fabulous?
Yeah. How did you get here?
Your outfit is amazing today, by the way.
It is.
She's
you
wearing,
know
like,
what?
Gold.
Somebody told me I look like Punky Brewster today. But
like chicest Punky Brewster.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've always had a little bit of my own sense of style. And of course, when I was a baby lawyer, that was a little bit challenging because, yeah. But you know what? You do what you need to do. So back at the in the time, I would like it was like a costume. Like I got glasses that actually had no glass in them, and I would put my hair back in a bun, and I would dress like a little lawyer. So now I don't have to do that as much, but. Yeah, I definitely still like fashion a lot and like style and like to figure out a way to make it work for me.
And so what was your career trajectory to being the woman that like Angelina Jolie calls?
Well, I mean, I grew up here, so I had a lot of people whose parents were in the entertainment industry and then they got into the entertainment industry. So I kind of had that like leg up. The father of my older son is an entertainment attorney. And so he has a lot of clients that, you know, they certainly don't want to have to deal with any of this like breakup relationship stuff. Mm-hmm. So he and his partners send all those guys to me. And a lot of it's just word of mouth. Yeah. A lot of it also has to do with being a younger woman, you know, for the past 25 years that I've been practicing. Most of the young entertainment people that I've represented, their business managers or entertainment attorneys don't necessarily want to send them to like some old guy in a suit. They want to send them to somebody who's a little bit younger, calls them dude, doesn't like judge them for smoking pot, like has a tattoo also. So they were like, oh God, send them to Laura Wasser. They'll relate to her. So that was kind of how it started. And then word of mouth.
When did you know that you were a famous person?
I'm not a famous person. I'm not a famous person. I've actually really fought hard against being a famous person because right around the time when people started recognizing my name for being a lawyer that represents famous people, I was having kids. So I was like, you know, when TMZ would be there, I was finally said, guys, please, I have little kids. You know, I grew up being the daughter of a divorce attorney. So I would go to like the birthday parties or the sweet 16s and I would have one parent or the other being like, ugh, that's a Wasser, you know? So my kids have my last name because they have their dad's last names. And yeah, like I just didn't want that to be part of their kind of growing up. They know they have a mom who works. They know that I'm a divorce lawyer. In fact, a lot of their friends who have gone through divorces at their school will talk to them about like what does it like having two homes or whatever, because both of them, for whatever reason, I split with each of their dads when they were each two. That must be like my sell-by date or something like that. So they kind of, that's all they really know. And so it's really fine for them. We, all of the dads have good relationships. Everybody gets along. Everybody does Thanksgiving. So these two guys can actually talk to the kids in their class if their parents are going through it and be like, look, it's really cool because we have like a PS4 at both of our houses. And, you know, you could tell your mom this and then she won't know that dad said this and whatever. Yeah. So they're really good like that. But yeah, I am not a famous person. I have no desire to be a famous person. I have a message that I want to get out there, but, you know, it doesn't have that much to do with my face.
And what's the what is the mantra, deciding force message?
It's the name of my book, which is It Doesn't Have to Be That Way. Mm-hmm. It is changing the face of divorce. It is the evolution of dissolution. Just mixing it up a little bit.
Because it is nasty out there.
Yeah. And if you're paying an attorney kind of by the problem or by the conflict, then again, as attorneys, I say this all the time to clients that come into my law firm. I'm like, the more you guys argue, the more I get paid.
Yeah.
I drive a Porsche. Let's keep the arguing to a minimum. Let's figure it out. And I also know, as somebody who's gone through it personally a couple times, you're better off if you're the master of your own destiny. And you're, I mean, you know what day, you know, Chloe goes to ballet. And if you were the ballet dancer in your family, you want to be there for ballet. Whereas if karate is on Thursdays, then maybe her other parent should take her to karate.
Right.
Judges don't know that. Judges don't have time to care about that. If you guys can sit down and work it out, you're so much better off. And so are your kids.
What's like the poisonous, like the most poisonous thing that you can do while going through a divorce?
Talking shit about your ex to your kids, to your friends, to your family.
Yep.
I mean, there has to be somewhere where you can vent. I'm not saying it's all like unicorns and rainbows and whatever. You should be in therapy of some kind. If you can't afford, you know, your therapist one day a week in the nice like posh office, then go to, you know, they have sliding scales. A lot of the community colleges, people that are trying to get their hours, you can go to group sessions. You have to have somewhere to vent. You have to have somewhere to talk about it. But it shouldn't be to people who are involved in your spouse's life also, which is certainly your kids.
But it's so hard.
It is really hard.
It's
but you know what?
Hard to be not petty.
So is so much about being a parent. Like, again, let's just focus on the parent thing. If you're talking smack about your ex and your kids hear you, what they hear is, oh, she feels that way about me because I'm one half that person.
Yeah.
And so they really take it to heart. You have to. You have to rise above. It is hard. And I'm not saying don't be petty. Just don't be petty in front of them. And believe me, I know it's hard. I mean, I know it's hard every day. But you have to just figure out a way, because you would do anything for your kids, right? So if you're going to do anything for your kids, suck it up.
Okay, so we have a pretty
extensive
Lady Gang group.
Yes.
And we asked, we said, I just said like a rock star is coming on. I didn't want to say
that. Would be so disappointing.
No, not every, half the people in the group guessed you.
Oh.
So, you know, I mean, you have been featured in Vogue, so people know who you are.
Can I tell you a quick Vogue story, by the way?
Yes, please.
So when I got the note from Anna's people, like, we'd love to have you in Vogue, I was, like, so excited. I was like, I've arrived. I called my mom. My mom lives in Malibu. She's like, oh, my God, this is amazing. But what they didn't know when they sent me the email was that I was about 3 months pregnant with my second son. So I wrote back and I said, I'm so excited, full disclosure. And I thought for sure they'd be like, no, it's – and I said, I'm not even showing. And I was really small with my first son. They actually wrote back and said, you know what? We're going to wait. We'll circle back. But thank you so much. And I was like, oh,
no.
But to their credit – they did circle back. Weirdly, I was way fatter when they circled back because I just had him. Like, there's a picture of me from that Vogue shoot that obviously wasn't in the magazine. That's me holding this little like morsel, which was is my baby. But they did. They came back. They said, "We're ready. Are you ready? Did you have the baby? Yes, I had the baby. I mean, it was awesome.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Why do you think they didn't?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't know that it necessarily had to do with that. Okay. I have no idea. It was never explained. But then when they came back and we did the shoot, and then she sent me the actual magazine with like a box slip that said like, "You looked beautiful. Good luck with the baby, Anna Wintour." I was like, oh.
Do you have it framed?
No, I don't. But I have it.
Okay.
That's so cool.
That is so cool.
Okay, so these are questions from the Lady Gang, from girls. We actually have a couple things, which I think is another great thing to say for support groups if you don't have the money. We have the Lady Gang.
It goes through divorce or something
like
that?
No, it's like the Lady Gang Inspire. We're not in the groups, obviously. But we have two groups. One is Triumphs. Mm-hmm. One is for girls that are currently dealing with the split of it all and the divorce and whatever. And then one of them is you go into later when you're rebuilding your life.
Love it.
Which we love.
New chapters. Yeah. We're all about that.
It's very cool. So these all questions came from all those different groups together. So they're going to be – obviously, I can already hear them yelling at me like, how did you not know our name? Like, anyway. Okay. All right. First question, which I love. How can you protect yourself from your former spouse having your sensitive information? You filed your taxes together. He has your social security number.
Well, okay. You can't ever get that stuff back. Just like, by the way, other sensitive stuff you can't get back. So be wary of that as you are taking the selfies or the sex videos or whatever else. But all of that being said, you can't take it back. But you're in it together. So whereas he has your social security number and he has, you know, your tax returns, you have his too. By the way, most of that information, although not in California social security numbers, but in New York State social security numbers, are public as part of your divorce, like when you file it with the court. So again, he or she is not having that much of your personal stuff that isn't out there publicly anyway.
I love that. What would you recommend having legally in place before even getting married? She says, I just got divorced and I don't want to ever go through that major hell again.
Hmm. So, I mean, you can do what I did. I was married for like 5 seconds in 1993 and I never got married again. And I've been quite happy. I have kids. I have co-parents. I have a monogamous boyfriend that I've now had for about 6 years. So that's all good. You don't have to get married again. But if you do get married again, what I would say is look into a prenuptial agreement. I know that they're not sexy or romantic, but I feel like so many people get married without even knowing what the law is in their state in the first place. They come to me, they're married 15 years, and they're like, wait, what do you mean I have to give him half of everything I made during our marriage? What do you mean I have to pay spousal support? He's like been sitting on the couch for 5 years. That's why I'm getting divorced. I'm going to be writing him a check. But think about it. That's what if the genders were reversed, we probably wouldn't even be like surprised about that. Mm-hmm. If you want to protect your assets, if you want to protect your income earned during a marriage and you want to opt out of what the law is in your state, say to the person, look, I've been married before. I already halved my wealth once. I don't want to ever do this again. Are you cool if we either just cohabit and have kids together, or are you cool if we have a prenup? Because I just am not down with having to agree to this like statewide thing that doesn't make sense for us.
Right. What if it's your first marriage and it's just so unromantic to be
I would do it.
I do love you, Dylan. Are you going to do it? Because you have your own business.
Absolutely. Yeah. I can't imagine not doing it.
And I'll tell you this. The couples that I see, even, you know, ones that that are now much younger than me that have those kind of conversations. And I do think it's easier. Like when I was first starting out and I was watching people do it versus now, we do speak about things more. We as women really don't like to talk about money. I mean, we will talk about a yeast infection before we talk about money.
Welcome to the lady gang. So,
is that the password?
Basically, yeah.
I mean, we're like, I don't want to talk about taxes, anyways.
Yeah, but if you have some of those conversations with your about-to-be spouse, you will last longer. Because toss it aside. Don't talk about it anymore. It doesn't have to be a constant recurring theme. Put it out there. So this is what I'm thinking. After we get married, I may take a few months off, or after I have a baby. Are you cool with that? You know, my parents are older, they might come live in our back house. Are you cool with that? I don't really ever want to send them to assistance. These things that aren't sexy or romantic, if you've spoken about them and you've kind of set kind of boundaries, ground rules, and you know that those are safe places to talk if you ever need to talk about them, you may never need to talk about them because now you're on the same page.
That's very true. And then it won't just be like looming in the back of your mind 20 years down the road because you're scared to bring it up.
Yes.
I'm so shocked by the friends that I have who've been married for a couple of years. Like, they still don't know how much their husbands make.
I think that's weird.
They don't
know
how much their mortgage is.
So weird.
It's weird because if he leaves or you decide to leave, like, you don't know anything about your situation.
Of people that have not signed prenups or have?
Well,
or both.
They definitely didn't sign prenups. But, like, they just are oblivious, like, because girls don't ask questions. She's like, well, I don't want to ask. That's so nosy. I'm like, it's not. It's your life.
And
like,
what he's going to work each day and making, that's half your money.
Yeah.
So it would be nice to know. And, again, what if he dies? What happens if he dies? Mm-hmm. We don't think about that because, you know, young. But what if he dies in a plane crash? Where is everything? What do I do? Do these people have wills? Because that's another really uncomfortable subject. Let's go get an estate plan.
Yeah.
But isn't it irresponsible not to have that?
Yeah.
So it's the same thing with, you know.
It's literally every tough conversation you don't want to have. Yeah.
I've had get a will for the last 5 years on my manifest list. It's so sad.
It's so morbid.
It is sad. I know, but once you do it, then you don't have to think about it again. And the same goes for like a prenup or asking for those documents. The interesting thing is, and I'm surprised you say that about younger women, tons of older women. Women come to me and they like could get a reservation at any restaurant in the city. Mm-hmm. They have a personal shopper at Neiman's. They are like Mrs. The Bomb. And they're like, I'm so embarrassed to say this. I don't know what my husband earns. I don't know what we have. I don't know if I'm entitled to the house. And I'm like, okay, here's the good news. You will never be in this situation again. Because when you get divorced, there's full discovery necessary in almost every state in the U.S. So you're going to know all that stuff.
Yeah.
But why do you have to wait till you get divorced to find out?
That's so crazy.
And then just like cross your fingers?
Yeah.
Am I broke?
And what if it's not as much as you thought?
Yeah. Like,
have you seen a lot where women thought they were super wealthy and they're in just mounds of debt?
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Because people could have gambling problems or just like not telling you how much they're making.
I mean, that's worse
taking
than
out
a divorce.
Credit card.
Like finding that out is really worse.
You're like,
losing
we're
going to
get
spouse.
Do I cut my losses and stay with him and hope he makes another good movie or do I get out now while I'm still young?
Crazy.
Oh, God, that's terrifying.
I recently had a situation this a couple years ago, and I've talked about it on the podcast before. Oh, wow, I can't believe I just said that. Because I got after Jack for saying that. But, and then this was a question that people asked, you know, they said, how do we get the courts to believe there's abuse and protect our children in custody agreements? How knowledgeable are the courts about narcissistic abuse? So I had a friend whose husband was videotaping her. Like yelling at her kids, and it was like she had laryngitis, and so it looked so much worse than it was, but she sounded like a monster because she's like, and she's, you know,
like a witch.
And then he held it over her head in the divorce and was like, I'm going to show them that you're an abusive parent. She's literally like a teddy bear, like could not be farther from the truth. But I think a lot of times, especially in Hollywood, we do see these people be able to change the narrative of what's actually going on. And so do the courts know what the truth is?
The courts may not know what the truth is, but the courts will always endeavor to find somebody who does. So it's very rare that a piece of evidence like that would come in front of a judge and he or she would go, oh, well, that's a monster and I'm going to take
just
her
like
kids
one
away.
Piece, yeah.
It usually would be that judicial officer would say, look, I don't know, but I'm going to have somebody do an evaluation. And so then the kids would meet with a mental health professional, mom would meet with a mental health professional, dad would meet with a mental health professional. And then usually some of those narcissistic abusive traits come out and they're talking to the dad and going, wow, you're kind of a douche. And to the mom, oh, you actually actually are not that bad at all. I'm sorry you had laryngitis. We all yell at our kids sometimes. Yeah. Who knows?
Right.
Then they write a report and they take it back to the judge. And so then the judge can make a more informed decision. And also it obviates the needs for the kids to have to go into court like we saw like in movies when we were little. Kids don't go to court. The evaluator talks to the kids. This is a mental health professional who knows how to talk to the kids and make the kids feel comfortable talking to him or her. And then that person writes the report to the judge.
And what should someone do? I mean, the friend of mine, I ended up helping her with her legal bills. But, when you just don't have the money, you don't have the money to find a you and you don't know what to do. And this person is holding this over your head and you're scared you're going to lose your kids.
Right. I think a lot of that has to do with education. That's why I want whoever would ask that question to be listening
to your podcast.
She can look at him and go, really? Did you really take that video? First of all, you can't use a video like that she didn't know was being recorded as evidence in court. Now, again, it could go to the evaluator, but before you would ever let yourself be in a situation to be in court, you would say to a judge, well, can I get an evaluation? Can you please help me out with this? And the judge generally will. They will err on the side of caution, but they will also err on the side of caution for themselves to make sure they're making informed decisions. So now, anybody listening to the podcast knows that. Yeah. At Over Easy, we have a ton of content. We have all kinds of articles about this. We have a user question thing so people can write in and ask. That's what we're all about, so that people that don't have the money to hire a me can get the kind of access that they need to this information.
That's amazing that you're doing that. It's really great.
And
it's
time.
Kind of sad.
And women,
I mean,
like,
it's sad, but like also good.
Yeah.
But like women need to, I feel like, empower themselves with information. And I think that so many of my friends who've gone through divorces from assholes, they steamroll you. Men really know how to like scare tactics and threats, and like they sound like they know everything and the absolute like end all be all. But that's not the case. Like you just have to do a little bit of work.
Yeah,
to
you have
find
to do
out.
A little bit of work. You have to get in. We abdicate the financial responsibility. We let them be like the dudes, whatever. If this is something you're going through, you really have to pull it together and for your kids, if not just for yourself, and figure out a way to kind of rise to the occasion, because you can do it. You will do it. And I'll tell you something. The men are scared, too. Mm-hmm. The men always get really scared that they're not going to get their kids, that they're going to have all their money taken away from them. A lot of times we just exhibit our fright in different ways. Yeah. So they like get all big and pound their chests and whatever. And we figure out some other way of doing it. Not saying we should pound our chests, but knowledge is power. Yeah. Get that information.
I love this question. Should I have a secret savings from my husband? How do I hide money?
Ooh, that is a good question.
I have a friend who literally, and she's been married, I think, like almost 25 years now. But she told me one time that every morning when her husband was in the shower, she would run down the street. They lived in the Palisades. She'd run down the street to the Versateller, and she would take out like the max, which was $200 every morning. Just so that she had like the secret stash. And I'm like, what are you talking about? He makes so much money. He shares everything with you. She's like, I just needed to know I have it. So
damn.
It's very hard to hide money.
Are they still together?
They are still together.
Okay.
She must have a shitload of money.
Does she still do it?
I don't know. I haven't talked to her about it in a
day?
While.
Did you not notice? Amazing.
He didn't notice.
He's rich. She's on the Palisades.
Like every morning a $200.
Maybe it's not every, but it's probably a few times a week. And she wasn't using it. She was, you know, writing, you know, who uses that much cash on a daily basis unless you have a cocaine problem? I don't know. Anyway, but so, yes, it wouldn't be a bad idea to have some money or at least a credit card. What happens a lot of times is somebody will cancel all your credit cards and then you're like, oh, my God. That's very easy to go into court and get turned back on. Judges do not like that. They see it as a power play. It's super uncool. So it doesn't happen as much anymore because it starts out the whole case with somebody being an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
But it's never a bad idea to have one, at least one credit card that is in your own name. Also, you could be married for 25 years to the richest guy ever, but nothing's in your name. So you have no credit established. And so now all of a sudden you're not Mrs. So-and-so anymore. So have a credit card in your own name. Continue to put stuff on it. Continue to grow that credit. That's really important. And if you needed to, you could take out some money on it too, in case something terrible happened and you didn't have any access to it. Hiding money, not the greatest idea, because if you get divorced, you're going to have to disclose everything. So you're going to have to disclose if you have a safe deposit box, if you have, you know, $2,000 in your safe, whatever. If you've been taking that all along, you're going to have to split that with him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really, really hard to hide money. And
it,
by the way, it's hard for him to hide money too, because especially these days with electronics, we can see everything.
Yeah.
If all of a sudden we look at your assets and you have only X amount of dollars, then we go and we look back and we see when it was being transferred out and what happened
to it.
You're
like, oh, this seems suspect. Well, 6 months ago, you put $4 million away.
That's how people find out about affairs too. You start looking at, you're going, well, wait, why is there $5,000 every month going to an apartment? apartment that's in West Hollywood. Who's that? God. Yeah. So you see that stuff. So everything is discoverable. But I really do think it's important for a myriad of reasons, like I just said, to have your own credit card so that you can get cash if you need it.
So even if someone cheats, and we live in California where it's 50-50. So like if my husband runs off and cheats on me, like he's still going to get 50% of my money.
Yes.
Wait, and this is just what the law is, obviously, without a prenup.
Without a prenup. Okay. Yeah. Now,
so if you do nothing.
If you do nothing, then it's 50-50. And California is a no-fault state, meaning you don't get to say, well, but he cheated on me, so I should get more. Or I should have to pay him less. Yes. And believe me, there's a lot of guys that say that, too. Like, she was totally sleeping with our kid's tennis instructor, and I'm giving her half of everything so this guy can come live in my house now, and I'm paying for him, too.
Mm-hmm. So you could, like, sabotage a relationship just to get 50%. Basically.
Yes, but why would you do it? I mean, that would only, you already have 50%. You're just dividing up what's already yours.
Right.
Yes, but the other thing to know is you asked about prenups. You cannot put in a prenuptial agreement. It will not be enforceable. If you cheat on me, I get more. That's not okay. No.
Oh, I thought you could.
Or if you do drugs.
I thought you could do, like, whatever you wanted.
You can if you agree to it. But then if somebody goes, yeah, I'm not going to go with that, it's not enforceable. That kind of behavior stuff. Even people that have put in prenuptial agreements, if he's been in rehab and he's been sober for 5 years, but if he does drugs again, I get more. No.
No.
Can't put that in.
What about when people are like, oh, if we stay married 5 years, I get this much, 10 years, this much?
Those are called sunset provisions, or after 10 years, the entire prenup goes away and she gets half of everything. People do them. Our firm doesn't. I think sometimes what happens is that judges find them to be promotive of divorce, meaning, oh, well, now after the 10 years, I'm out. So we try to do stuff in prenups that will make them be enforceable. And something that's promotive of divorce, not always enforceable.
This is so interesting. I'm like, we have so many. Okay.
Millions.
If he dies, why do I absorb his debt, or do I absorb his debt?
You absorb his debt if it's community. So if it was incurred during the marriage, you will absorb it. You'll also absorb everything that was half his, unless you had a prenup saying that there is no community, meaning you wouldn't absorb his debt either. So that's another thing to think about. If you go into the marriage and one of you has a lot of debt, that would be a good thing to say, well, I'm not really taking half of that, and I don't want that debt paid off. Why do you? Because creditors would rather come after you than not get paid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So wait, if I do a will, can I say, I will leave everything, but I'm not taking his debt if he dies?
That would be in his will. And then it would say, I don't want her to have to absorb my debt, so I'm going to pay it with this.
Oh. We still have to.
You have to make a different deal with the people that had the debt.
Okay. How does a common law marriage work and terms of splitting assets?
You're so excited. There's no such thing as common law marriage in California. People are like, well, I live together
with
him for
15 years. We have a worldwide audience.
Okay. I don't know the states that recognize common law marriage. Most don't anymore.
Okay.
When you have a palimony case or a Marvin case, that is common law marriage. We live together for this long, and therefore, that's not a family law matter. That's actually a civil suit. It's a contract. And what it means is we had an implied contract. The implication was that we lived together and you supported me and you were going to take care of me and what you earned was half mine. Or you told me this. It just never got written down anywhere. Most of the time, those cases never see the inside of a courtroom because judicial officers will go, why don't you just get married then if that was what you believed?
Right.
So, again, that happened much more in the past, not as much anymore. Happened a lot with same-sex couples because the same-sex couples would say, we would have gotten married. We had a ceremony. We wore rings, whatever else. But now that same-sex couples can get married, judges are like, so why didn't you get married?
Right.
So those don't happen as much there anymore either. So if you're living with somebody and you think you're married or in a common law marriage, just get married.
Okay. Yeah. What about prenups? Like how far do you have to – can I take a piece of paper out of my computer and say – you get 25% and sign it and that's good? Or does it need to be like filed or
through a lawyer? Very, very strict laws. You must both have attorneys.
Because a will, you can just write, right?
You can do a holographic will. I think you need a witness or something for that. But for prenups, and this is why It's Over Easy hasn't started doing prenups yet. I think I found a fix for this, so we might be able to start doing prenups. is you both need attorneys to sign off on them. Also, both people need to be able to read and speak English, so they need to know what they're signing. And there needs to be full disclosure. So you can't just say you only get 25%. You have to say, here's what I have, because the person might go, why are you only giving me 25%? You already have this in addition to what you're going to make. So there's disclosure requirements. There's legal requirements for having legal counsel. And then there's also a bunch of things like they knew what they were signing. They understood what they were signing. They weren't under duress. Mm-hmm. Don't sign your prenup the night before you get married, because then he can go, oh, I was under duress. My whole family was here. My mother came out from wherever. Dress was fitted already. So there it has to be certain timing requirements, too, so that it's not the eve of on the back of a cocktail napkin when you just really want to dive into the marriage.
Most important question you're going to get today. We are on our way to superstardom. The Lady Gang is wildly successful with our television show now. And we're going to make so much money. And Becca and I are married. Mm-hmm. Jack's
help me
in love. Should we do postnups?
If they will agree to them, you can do postnups. So you both –
Can either of you guys sign one?
I don't have a prenup. Do you? Mm-hmm.
So you can do that.
I also had like $4.
Yeah, we were in equal, like very equal financial positions.
So let me ask you this, and you don't have to answer, but if you guys went to your husbands today and said, so, thinking about the postnup, wouldn't they be like, are you kidding me? I've been home waiting for you. I've been supporting you. What's yours is half mine. Or would they go, I absolutely support you in this endeavor. Let's sign the postnup.
I think it would depend on how I shaped it, like how I presented it. I think you'd be like, are you leaving me? Like, this seems crazy.
Yes. It's like when...
I'm not leaving you now, but when I'm really
when
rich,
I'm ready.
I'm gonna leave.
Yeah, when I'm actually rich.
But here's the thing. I don't see my husband. I feel like I know him pretty well, but I'm sure you hear this all the time. Like, he has so much pride. There's no world. If I wanted to leave, he'd be like, take all your shit. Like, that's the man that I married. Have you seen people say
that? Like, literally says that about their husbands.
She's giggling.
I don't know, though. Like, he's very, like, I mean.
Are you sure he wouldn't be like, look, this is the law. I'm entitled to half of this.
No, but, he's such.
But don't people turn into dicks when they get divorced, too?
Sometimes.
And, like, bring
sometimes
the claws
do.
Out?
But
sometimes
don't you
do.
Have those, like, red flags leading up to it? Like he greedier people or, like, people who are, like, very insistent on, like, going half or keeping score?
Sometimes, but sometimes not
people
so much. And also,
minds.
If somebody cheats, then it's a game changer.
Because
now
I
don't
cheated,
know you anymore,
like,
so you don't know me anymore either. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult to say.
Yeah.
And so, again, I don't love postnups because I always feel like people are like, well, why would I sign it now? Mm-hmm. Like, we're already married.
Seems fishy. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that really does start to look like pre-negotiating your divorce. Mm-hmm. But if it is something – and remember, in California and most states too, anything that you inherit – because you're going to be your separate property no matter when you inherit anything that's gifted to you and anything you bring into the marriage. So those things are fair anyway. So now to say, and I've had a measure of success during our marriage and I don't want to share that with you, I don't know. That may not be something that they're so down with. But
you're
you can
literally going to be calling you the next week because it's about to break you up.
But I do feel like it is fair, like if we were to get divorced, like to give our husband, if we did make a shit ton of money, like to give our husbands half. I mean, they were there the whole ride. They supported us. They like
let us
I
talk about
like
their
it.
Penises
yeah,
on television.
They let us totally talk about exploit the fuck out of our marriages.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then also you think about it the other way, like if the genders were reversed.
I would want the same.
Yeah.
You know, like so I do kind of like the greediness is a lot. Like I don't know if I think that people are entitled. Like women who stay at home and raise families, like if you get divorced and your husband's a bajillionaire, you should get half. Like Bezos.
As long as they're not sitting like on their ass playing video games or some shit.
No, like her, if a woman's raising the family and has no choice, like can't be working,
right.
Like I don't like that. Do you see that a lot where men are like, this is my money? Like
I see it a lot, but I do think most of the time when people come to me, they at least have an idea of what's going to happen. I see a lot in these high wealth cases is they say, she did not raise our kids. A nanny raised our kids. And by the way, women say this too. Like, oh, he was a stay-home dad. He stayed home and he was a dad, but he wasn't taking care of my kids because I still had to be the one that arranged for the nanny, that arranged for the school lunches, that arranged for the playdate, and I'm working my ass off. So no, I don't feel like giving him half. And often the men say that too. If she raised my kids, why do I have a nanny, a chef, a driver, you know, a babysitter for the weekend? Right. She's not raising my kids. So we have that a lot too. Ooh. So yeah, exactly.
Which is so valid.
Well, it is valid.
Do
But, like, you also supported her doing that.
Yeah. I say all the time, you created this monster.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
You don't like your marital lifestyle, and you don't like having to pay support to continue that lifestyle.
Shouldn't have had it.
Why'd cancel the nanny. You're paying for it.
Well, what happens with a celebrity? We see this a lot. Like, obviously, celebrity life goes hot and then not. Like, you're the schmutzvah of the town, and you're winning whatever you're winning, and you're all fine. And then 10 years later, you're on your ass, and, like, you're still paying what's-her-face $35,000 a month, and, like, you truly cannot afford that anymore.
Then you go back and you modify your support. You show the court, these are the jobs I've had over the past however many years. This is how much money I have. I'm not able to afford it. And by the way, the same thing happens for not a celebrity. If you're a hedge fund guy and all of a sudden your hedge fund goes belly up, same type of a thing.
Yeah.
That is why, look at it with musicians. We represent a lot of musicians. In a year where you're writing an album, you don't really make any money. But in a year where you're touring, you make a shitload of money. So we average somewhere between 3 and 5 years to figure out what somebody's income actually is. Your wife's not going to stay home, or your husband, and not go buy or not go travel or not, you know, go to lunch when you're in the writing year. You're spending the money from the year before.
Yeah,
so the lifestyle pretty much stays constant, but the money goes up and down, particularly in the entertainment industry.
Right. And then isn't that so embarrassing, because does that all become public?
Yes, unless you can negotiate it. So that's what I always say. Look, you're not doing as well now. He or she's clearly aware of that. You're around more. You're spending more time with your kids because you're either not touring or you're not on location.
Yeah.
So let's go back and talk to them. And rather than spending another $100,000 on me and the other lawyer, let's talk about how to keep that money in the family so we can pay for a couple years of school tuition for your kids and just reduce the amount.
Right.
Because ultimately it's going to happen.
Right. But then people are so nasty that they're just like, they can't even get off their high horse sometimes.
Sometimes they're like, I get it. I understand. I mean, that's why I always also say to people, like, if you're going to get divorced from somebody with whom you have kids, this isn't like a slip and fall in a market or a fender bender or a landlord tenant thing where you're never going to see the person again. You're going to see this person. You
all
better be on the same page with them, working with them, whether it's anything from, hey, I have to do the Lady Gang podcast tonight from 6 to 7. Can you stay with the kids till I get back? Like, can you help me out here? To, like, big time, hey, I'm not making as much money as I was. Can we reduce it by about $5,000 a month? Would that be okay? At least until I'm making some more, maybe.
Right.
What's the craziest, like, so we see this thing where it's like, so-and-so, she needs $35,000 a month to maintain her lifestyle. Like, what's the craziest amount of money that you've seen?
Oh, my God. Well, it's interesting.
Because we always laugh at that.
I'm like, how do you spend that?
I mean, you're a fancy lawyer in Beverly Hills, and you have fancy, fancy clients. But, like, for me being on ET, sometimes when I'm talking to, like, girl in the middle of America who's, like, making $35,000
a year,
they're
unreal.
Gagging right. When it's like she needs $150,000 a month
and couldn't possibly survive on less. I mean, you start to go down the list of what it is that gets spent, even on face cream, and you're like, okay, now that it adds up, I understand. The craziest one, more than the adults, is the kids. California has the highest guideline child support numbers in the country. And so you have, and the children are supposed to be able to live a lifestyle commensurate with their wealthiest parent. So you actually have baby mamas coming in and saying, well, of course he should be wearing Dolce & Gabbana tennis shoes, and of course there should be no less than the Louis Vuitton diaper bag, and that's how much this costs, and we have to fly private, and we need to be in an Escalade that has a car seat, and I mean, all of this kind of stuff. What is a reasonable need? Is that good for kids to have that much money? If they don't have that much money when they're living with mom, but then they go to dad's and they have that, is that fair? Or they're never going to want to go back to mom's because she's in a one-bedroom apartment on Van Nuys.
Ooh.
So those are the kind of things that we have to deal with and figure out what makes the most sense. But those are the crazy ones.
That is insane.
Crazy.
I mean, look at some of the birthday parties that you read about for these kids.
Yes, for the celebrity kids.
Well, now I understand why so many women get pregnant
in California.
Money. I'm always like, who cares? Like, you like child support, but
it's
big, the whole life.
Big. Well, it's until they're 18 here.
Yeah,
and again,
just, like,
then you've got a kid that's been raised with this. Now you just cut them off because you love them. They're still your kid, even if you don't maybe love their mother.
The long con.
The long game. Yeah.
Kanye
but what
West
happens
said
to
it.
The mom after the 18th? Now the money's going to the kid. I mean, this is her lifestyle.
Right.
Shit.
God.
She's got to get a job.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard for her being a barista.
Welcome to the rest of the world.
Welcome to us. Oh, we have 7 jobs. Okay. This has been so amazing. I do hope that you will come back again because we have so many more questions that we didn't get to. But right now, we are going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to do our Ask the Lady Gang questions. And they're really
juicy.
Really juicy.
Mm-hmm. Hey, ladies! Get funky.
Ask the Lady Gang.
Okay, and we're back. So we have specific questions that our Lady Gangers have written us in that they need desperate advice for.
Okay.
And you've catered these to, like, her, right?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Like relationships, scammers.
What do I do?
Wait, we didn't ask the one question. Oh. When you go to your friends' weddings, do you know who's going to end up getting divorced?
Yeah.
Oh,
no.
Yeah.
No.
Really? You can't, pick out red flags?
I can't. I mean, I sometimes can pick out a red flag or two, but honestly, I have to say I've been to weddings where I'm like, I don't think this is going to work at all, and they're still married. And then I've been to the ones where I'm like, this is so fucking perfect, and they split up. So you never know what happens behind closed doors.
Yeah, that's
25
true.
Years in, I have no idea. I wow. want people to be happy. I love going to weddings, but I'm not a good predictor.
Damn.
Do all your friends ask you advice, though, when they're getting married?
Yes.
Oh, God, you're like the best friend to ask, seriously. Okay.
Or the
worst. I really did want to ask you a lot more celebrity questions, but I'm assuming you can't say anything about
like
any
all
of your
the
celebrities.
NDAs.
That is true.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. Can you tell us the craziest story without who it is?
Let me think about it while we're doing the Lady Gang questions, because there's a lot of crazy ones.
Oh, I'm sure. I know. It's just so juicy.
All the dirt.
Okay.
When you retire...
I was just going to ask, are you going to write a book?
It will die with me.
It will die with you?
My grave. Yeah, I'm not going to write a book. I wouldn't do that. A lot of these people are really in pain, and I wouldn't do that to them.
I mean, that's like the most exploitive thing in the entire world.
I wouldn't do that.
I'm definitely writing a book about you, Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, but like, you interview people like on a red carpet at the peak of their career.
She is seeing people in their most vulnerable state.
Yeah, it's different.
You're right.
And you heard about all of their like sexual dysfunctions. It's really,
that's fun.
Yeah.
Oh my God, how fun.
Well, because in Hollywood, and I mean this with love, there are a lot of marriages where one or two of the people in the marriage are not straight. And they're not.
I didn't even mean like that.
Oh.
I meant like diapers and clown shoes and shit.
Oh my God, that's what I want to know. That's what I want to know.
Me too.
God. Shit. Out of that, I don't give a shit about any of the money.
No.
Like, who has the weirdest fetish?
Yep.
Okay.
On that note,
ask Lady Gang questions. All right. First one says,
she said clown shoes.
And diapers.
I'm not even going to sleep.
That was the same one.
I'm not even going to sleep tonight.
Oh, my God.
Adult baby. Okay. First question says, I've been teaching middle school for 5 years, and I've realized slowly but surely that I hate kids. I cannot reprimand another 13-year-old for a phallic drawing again. I currently teach German and have a degree in education, German, and teaching ESL. I've applied for thousands of jobs but can't seem to get anyone to look at my resume because of my lack of relevant experience. I've done coding and design classes, and I work a second job in sales for more experience in other fields to make myself more marketable. However, the response I get from most of the employers is that my background isn't what they're looking for, even though I'm applying for entry-level positions. Help me. I can't afford to go back to school.
Ooh. Well, let me say that I feel your pain because I have a 13-year-old. There are a lot of penis pictures. There is vaping.
Vaping?
There is grounding and there is eye rolling. So I get it. He doesn't take German, thankfully. But, illicit vaping. Like, I'm not, like, cool with it. But we
like
did
the
find.
Jewel?
Yeah.
I can't believe kids are
13. 8th grade. Yeah, that's middle school. Coding. Coding, coding, coding. That's the one thing I heard. Everything else was like, wah, 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 wah. I hate kids. Wah, wah, wah. Coding. Mm-hmm. Get in on that. If this is a woman, she should be going after the coding jobs. I know running a tech company, it is so hard to find women who code. It is so hard to find women who are able to like speak English and certainly German and also code. Go after that tech. It is necessary. Go on AngelList. Go on some of the tech websites and find someone that will hire you as a coder because that is where you're – I mean, and if you need to do a couple more classes on that, you should.
Damn.
I really like that definitive advice.
I mean, I'm just going to like drop the period there. Yeah. I was going to be like, girl, intern, but I'm not anymore. I'm an idiot. I'm literally wearing a diaper and clown shoes right now.
She can't afford to go back to school. She definitely can't intern for free.
Yeah. I know. I don't know.
Dude,
I was going to be like, maybe update your resume with a photo. I'm an idiot. That's why we're us and you're this.
Like, do a new photo shoot. Have a few glasses of wine to like
loosen up.
Loosen up. Take a cute photo.
Have your friend look at your cover letter and spice it up. Like, we're idiots.
Find a cute guy that's hiring.
Those are good things too. And then code.
And then code. No, that is very smart. Okay. All right. Okay, I'm in my early 30s, and my husband and I separated just under 2 years ago. There wasn't one situation that sparked the split, but we were constantly fighting. Our interests and goals in life started to grow apart, and support from him turned to resentment when I began to grow in my career, which was the most hurtful and frustrating thing. We've been living separately for almost 2 years now. We've cut most ties, but every now and then he will message me asking to meet for coffee or wanting an explanation, which turns into the same conversation we've had 100 times over, or even more frequently when he's obviously been out drinking for the night. The problem is he's all over the place, one minute telling me he misses me, the next telling me I've ruined his life and that I'm a horrible person, or saying things like, I know what you did, don't play dumb. It's like he's reaching to get me to confess to something when there's nothing to confess to. He was always a bit of a manipulator. I know it's impacted his life, and I don't want to hurt him more, but how do I get this to stop?
It's over, right?
I think it's over, and I think every time he does that, she probably is driven a little bit further away.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes exes need to be, and I hate this analogy, but it's true, like they need to be trained like dogs. And if every time he calls or texts, then you kind of come running, then it becomes Pavlovian because he expects that. So maybe you say, we've had this conversation. I'm here for you if you want to talk about something else, but this has gotten boring and it's starting to make me resent you. I'd like us to be able to be friends, but maybe just not responding, not going for coffee. You're doing it because you're a nice person and you don't want to have any bad blood with your ex, but maybe it's time to cut the cord. Also, it doesn't say anywhere in that question that they're actually divorced. Maybe he still thinks there's hope because they've only been separated. It'soveasy.com.
Yeah. Good. Yeah.
Go to my website. Yeah. I mean,
you just have to decide, like,
do you want to
should
be
or get
or
off the pot? Yeah. Like, you've been separated long enough. I know that even in Canada, where I'm from, I believe in Manitoba anywhere where we had this divorce, you have to be separated for a year before they'll even let you sign the paperwork to divorce or whatever. And so it's like a mandatory separation with a mediator. It's like different rules. But anyway, I think 2 years is enough.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? 2 years
and if it's
is enough
not going
to know.
They're just like sitting in limbo, it seems like.
And it's too hard.
Yeah, he's acting and like a fuckboy coming back into her life like whenever he's drinking.
Yeah.
Like, what is that doing for you? Is
you up?
Serving you?
You up?
You up. Nothing worse than getting that from your husband.
Right, that you're separated from.
Yeah.
You up?
Okay. Last question comes from Jane Doe. She says, I recently started dating a guy and I found out that he is still technically married to his ex-wife. They have a daughter together and according to him, he hasn't filed for divorce because he doesn't want to rock the boat. Their custody and child support situation is good right now and he's afraid of pissing her off by filing. They've been separated for 2 years. We aren't serious right now, but I feel like it's headed in that direction and I'm uncomfortable with him still being married to his ex. Is this a red flag?
Not necessarily. I don't think so. I mean, again, 2 years to be separated if you've got a kid, if they're dating, unless she feels like there's some reason beyond what he's telling her, like he still holds a candle for this wife. But, you know, a lot of people are separated and for whatever reason, they just don't go through with it. It can be too expensive to get divorced. He doesn't want to rock the boat.
Yeah.
A certain period of time with a custody schedule in place creates a status quo. So if he's got that under his belt for a while and then decides to file and she goes, oh, you're not seeing our kid, he'll be like, I've been seeing our kid regularly, you know, half the time for 2 years. I'd wait till you get a little more serious and then raise it. I don't necessarily think it's a terrible thing that they've just been separated. And I don't know that it's your place to mention it yet. I don't know that it should be a red flag just now. It's having a good relationship with your ex, particularly if you have got a kid with her. I think that's more important than actually like cutting that cord in this scenario.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, I know nothing. So, but I think it seems like if the kids and everything is good, then maybe he's right to not rock the boat.
And if he's not serious with you, then he's got no reason to have a divorce.
I wonder if she's met the kids. That would be an interesting thing to think. Like, don't judge how serious you are, Jane Doe, with your boyfriend by what he's doing with his ex. Judge by what he's doing with you.
Damn. That's really good. Okay. It'soveasy.com. You can listen to the podcast every Wednesday.
I think it drops on Mondays. Divorce sucks.
Oh, yeah. This is amazing.
Yes.
So Mondays you can listen to Divorce.
What a great way to start off your week, though.
Yeah,
you're like going through some shit.
Fresh new week. Tuesday, Lady Gang. Wednesday, just be sad. Thursday, more Lady Gang. And then it's going to be Monday again.
There you
go. More Divorce. Will you please come back?
I would love to come back.
And did you think of your craziest story?
Oh, yeah.
Besides diapers and clown
shoes?
Besides
the diapers and clown shoes.
That's pretty crazy to me.
I mean, this isn't – I hate to end on a negative note. Well, there's two crazy stories. One is one couple we went through the entire divorce, totally divorced, paperwork done, everything. For whatever reason, we had to go downtown, which doesn't happen anymore, to get the, what's called a prove-up. So they had to both say, yeah, yes, I understand. I signed this, da-da-da. And so we – he was a – musician. We went downtown. He was my client. I get there. He's not there. He had texted me that morning, so I knew he was up. It wasn't like he'd overslept. The other guy that I was working with, his client wasn't there either, but we were waiting for them. The judge is like, what's happening? Let's go, let's go, let's go. Finally, they like walk in totally disheveled.
Oh, no.
They've totally had sex in the car at the courthouse parking lot.
Oh, my God.
Wait. And I was like, so what does that mean, you know? And my guy goes, we've reconciled. And she goes, let's go. And they were like, wait, what? He totally misunderstood what
she still wanted to go through with it.
Yes. She was like, one last for the road. And he was like, oh, I'm so glad we're getting back together.
This is the best thing I've ever heard in my life.
So I was like, okay, whoa, just hold on a second. Let's take a break. They ended up getting divorced.
Oh,
they probably still get together sometimes. I don't know.
Sure.
But I had to take him in the other room and be like, dude. And he's like, I don't know what happened. I thought da, 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 da. Anyway, but that was that moment of like them walking in and us being like, okay. And I actually thought, okay, good. They're going to get back together because he said it. And I thought he was kind of more in control. And she's like, what do you mean? Let's go.
Oh, yeah. My God.
That's definitely like
amazing.
TV moment.
Yes.
Maybe you need to do like a scripted show.
They've asked me, like, ripped
times.
From the headlines.
Yeah.
If I had like one more day in the week, but yeah.
Yeah, with all your free time.
It's too much.
Our free time. Okay. Thank you so much for listening. We're so sorry to everyone that's going out that's like, I really needed this podcast because that means you're in a hard part. But just take it from me, the lady gang divorcee. Everything's going to be fine. And there's a second marriage or a longstanding relationship with no ties in your future and you will be very happy.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
Sounds lovely.
Jack. Okay. That's it. And we will
see you next Tuesday.
Thanks for listening. The Lady Gang is produced by Alex Ingber, Will Sterling, Steve Delameter, and Jared Monaco. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review our podcast. And if you love it, share it with your friends on social media. Like, oh my God, I just listened to Lady Gang. This episode's so great. Swipe up to listen. And if you really want to, which we know you do, please follow us on social at Kelty, at Becca, at Jack Vanek, and at The Lady Gang. Sign up for our newsletter at theladygang.com and join our secret Facebook group. It's super fun. See you next Tuesday.